Thank you, beautiful. An original piece by Cerise, and especially potent today. Thank you so much. Woo, take a breath. Good morning. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm here to deliver a powerful message today that seems to go with everything that has been stated this morning so far, and I just love it when we feel that sense of wholeness, of unity, of the way that we have just unified the entire expression of what the essence of today is about. And so, welcome. I'm happy that you're here. There's just, boy, did I pray a lot this week about what needed to be said this morning. So before I begin, we are indeed on the into the second week. We're already halfway done with the stewardship campaign, and I have created affirmations that go with our Neville reading. So we're having book studies on Mondays at noon and then Monday evenings at 6 p.m. So please join us if you'd like to do that, or you can pick the book up here. It's Neville's The Awakened Imagination. And let me just tell you, I think that months ago when I was reading that book on my patio and I was inspired to see that we wanted to be reading that book right now, boy, that was quite a good divine hit, because we could not be studying anything more perfect at this time of great change. And remember, change is not bad. It's just a little scary sometimes. But the quotation or the affirmation that I'm going to put on the board this morning says, I feel with joyous expectancy my deepest desires already fulfilled. I stay the course in knowing my good, and I am conscious of spirit within me as the activating power and my state of being. Let me hear an amen. I can reach it better here. All right. All right. So we got the right upper hand corner now on the poster. Do you see how the pieces are coming together here? So the title of my talk, which I selected months ago, is Divine Justice. I know, I wasn't laughing Wednesday morning, though, going, wow, how are you going to do that? How are you going to pull this off? Where we've been sort of pulled into a place of really recognizing our humanness. Some of us are feeling vulnerable, more vulnerable than we have in a while, and others of us are feeling elated and strong and empowered. And my job as your minister is to bring it all together. How can we pull it all together? And I think it's going to be a fairly straightforward and easy path, and I'm quite excited. I am standing today in joyous expectancy because I understand how spiritual law works, and so I know good is going to be revealed in some interesting ways in the weeks and the months and the years ahead that really is a good about the presence of God becoming more apparent in this way that we live our life. So today, I just wanted to say to you that I stand here rather tender. It's been a very interesting week from a ministerial perspective. And I just want to remind you that we come together to share a message, but we sit in a sanctuary. We call this room, no matter what my husband calls it, we call it a sanctuary. And we are here to be spiritually uplifted. And so this is a safe place. And one of the great things about what we do here is we honor all paths. And we even have above the main archway, when you first walk in the door there in the foyer, above the first archway you see is that quotation from Ernest Holmes. It's a little snippet of it. It's not the entire thing. But it suggests that we really do welcome you. Welcome, stranger. It says, welcome, come in. You are welcome here. And so I stand in that truth, knowing that this message this morning about divine justice is not about our human idea of what justice is. We're going to have to throw that all out before we can begin again and really step into change in a positive way. And we're going to have to let go of any idea of right or wrong or fair or unfair or what things look like. And we have been pretty attached to our opinions. And let's face it, every 4 years we get to do this again. We all get revved up about our opinions and our ideas, and I don't know that there's anything wrong with that. So today, as we're standing in that balance, see, divine justice is actually the higher path. It's the way that we would walk in a higher way, side by side, and on this planet as divine beings in sort of these bodies of form that are finite as we're trying to understand the infinite, which always tickles me just to think of that. But divine justice, then, is about this balance of life that is always restoring harmony or always creating a new center of balance. You know, nature, look at nature. Nature really thrives on restoring order. And so that's what we're going to do. From here on out, we're just looking for a way to find our own personal way of just being here together. And what I love about this teaching, and I'm going to say it a couple times today, is that we do that by honoring differences. When we say that we honor all paths, what that means is we know there are paths that don't look like the path we're walking on, but that every person coming from the same divine creator is an individualized expression of truth, and we're all searching to find a way to live that truth in our own lives. And so I love that we are different. Even sitting here in a faith where we join in certain teachings, we have that space to have our own individuality and to understand life and see it from our perspective. In the same way that I was thinking how you might go to a museum or even look at a coffee table book with great works of art in it, and you could focus on the art and see the work of the artist, and you will see that what makes art gorgeous is the contrast. It's the artist's ability to use light in different ways to express beauty by contrast. So I want to say that it's been a lot of years since I have been inundated with so many calls for prayer and so many people being able to verbalize that I'm feeling confused. I'm feeling I'm afraid. I'm sad. So many prayers this week. I am so grateful because when I pray for you, I ground myself. And then a whole bunch of other people going, I don't understand. What is all the confusion about? It's going to be okay. So wherever you stand in that, my call, my ask of you is just to have compassion. Let's practice listening. This is such a gorgeous opportunity for us to all step up and go, really, I didn't get it. Tell me. Talk to me about it. I'm going to listen. And now we can put aside our harshness, and we can hopefully soften and be respectful to each other and all of that. And I think that we are all witnessing that happening. If you open your eyes and seek it, you will see that there are some gorgeous things coming on, unfolding, happening right now. And there were three themes. I prayed. I wrote this talk four times. Four times. And I prayed all week, you know, give me the words. Show me the direction to go in. And what I realized was the voice that I kept hearing as I sat in my meditation chair was, but you're hearing the voice. The people are coming to you. The people are telling you what they need. And so I have three topics I'm going to address this morning. And they're really good principled topics. We're gonna roll up our sleeves and really get into it here. But the single most interesting question that I didn't see coming is that people continue to ask me, where is God here? How could God be in this? Or why did God let this happen? I'm speaking about politics now. When people have been talking to me this week, that's what I'm specifically addressing here. So where is God? And that's a really good question. So I'm going to answer that question this morning. And the other question is, How do I forgive the people that voted different than me? You know, and sometimes they live under your same roof, Hugh. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant ha-choo. How do you do that when you live under the same roof and you can't even talk about what's going on without getting a little passion? And yes, he can be passionate. I know he doesn't show it all the time. But, you know, how do we do that? How do we, and if we take that idea of forgiveness and we put a little twist on it and look at it as acceptance, as another demonstration of how we can honor all paths, then that's going to help us a little bit. And the third question came from my Wednesday night foundation class. It was the most beautiful query, I think, that I've had all week. The best question anybody asked me. And it actually came from someone who is brand new to this teaching and probably will never step foot in a Sunday service. I don't know, because I can only see the first few rows from here. But a man who's so kind and loving and seemingly wise said to me in front of the whole class, because we spent time talking about it, because come on, Wednesday night, it was pretty fresh. And this man said to me, how can we use these principles to help us now? If we are feeling disturbed, how can we use these principles? And so that's where I'm going to start. The first thing I noticed that I said, and I've been repeating all week when anybody asks me that same question, or when people say, where is God in this? I begin by saying, this is an opportunity for each of us to question what we believe about God. Let's just go all the way back to the basics, back to the beginning, and to ask ourselves, well, what is it that I believe about God? Because that's a great starting point. It's possible that this is the perfect time for us to expand our idea of what God is, but first we have to give up the idea that God is a person or person-like or that God is a personality. And so as I was thinking about that, I was thinking that, you know, in the Old Testament, in the recorded writings of the Hebrew people, they began with a very harsh, judgmental God, that God Jehovah that had a lot of rules. And then what happened after 4,000 years or so of this time period is supposed to be written about, then we get into what we call the New Testament. So then this man comes to live on this planet who has a different vision and begins to redefine God for us. What if God isn't a bunch of rules? What if God is love? What if there's more to it? And what if I'm one with it? This is the message of Jesus, that there is this unity, there is this wholeness that was described differently 4,000 years earlier. Now we move to current time. And so what I want to say is I had this profound thought while I was writing this material. I think it's time for us to really be brazen in our willingness to yet again redefine what God is. Now, if you look at the marriage of science and spirituality, what we're seeing is that there is a segment of the scientific community that is willing to consider there is some intelligence in the universe that some of us call God or spirit or boo, as Reverend Cheryl calls her that's her name for God. And so we are being called then to be even more expansive than ever before. So we really want to start with this idea of how truth evolves, how we are not the same people that walked the day that Jesus walked, and those people were not the same people that walked at the time of Moses, and that whoever comes next in the years ahead, 1,000 years from now, will not be coming at the same level of consciousness that we are here today. But I think we are, no matter what, we are the movers and the shakers. We are creating change, and sometimes that looks like discord, and it feels chaotic, because it is. It's change. As I think about that idea of God as ever-present, all-powerful, in all places, at all times, as that intelligence that knows how to do all the things it does, that we have these gorgeous illustrations. And I found a couple in the toy box that we keep at our house. We're grandmas and grandpas. And last week or 10 days ago or so, we had a visit from our granddaughter from Los Angeles, and she brought our great-grandson, whom we have not met a lot. He doesn't know us really well. We see him on video a lot more than he sees us on video. And so I pulled out the basket of toys that I have had. Some of those toys are my kids' toys. I've had them a long time. So they're the durable things that hang around. And I'm trying to entertain him so I can get him to sit still on my lap. And we're playing with a little game. And I'm teaching him how to use gravity to help him pop up these little balls that are rolling around, kind of a little pinball machine. And then there's this other toy you guys all know. I think it's more an adult toy than it is for kids. But you know how they take those iron shavings and you can take a magnet and put it under the iron shavings or stuck in a little plastic thing? But if you drag the magnet around on the bottom of it, you can give this bald guy hair or a beard and you can make it work. So there's all this sort of scientific stuff. These are the natural laws of physics that just work. And what we look for are ways to study that so that we can have a better understanding of the spiritual laws that we can't see, but we are participating in all the time. So we have this little plastic top, a spinning top. And I actually brought it. I thought I would demonstrate it, but I have to talk fast today. I have too much to say. We can't play with toys. So I notice when you spin the top, the children love the top. I don't even know where the top came from. It's been in the toy chest forever. But when I spin the top, that if I do it well and the surface is flat, it will spin like crazy. And when the energy starts to run out, it'll start to wobble a little bit, and then it'll tip over. And if we're playing on the kitchen table, it may spin itself right off the table, and then the little kids just love that. They love to chase it and get it. Do it again, right? And we could do it 100 times, and they never tire of it. But isn't that how life is? That here is this gorgeous example of a toy that we can spin, and because of the natural laws in the universe, it will balance itself and it will keep going until the momentum slows down and it loses the power that it had when you first spun it. Now, I was thinking about that. And I thought I had the talk already written, but this morning I was thinking about it and I went, in my head, talking to Karen here, when Karen spins the top, when Grandma spins the top, it goes in the same direction. I always spin it in the same direction, but if they took it to Grandpa, he's not left-handed, he's going to spin it, and it likely is going to spin in the opposite direction. And yet, it still works. And nobody notices. Is it going clockwise or counterclockwise? Nobody notices because the law just works all the time. It cannot not work. Yeah, that's a big amen for me too. So this path, these teachings, can help us learn more about what God is as we're willing to explore that. So we know God's a presence. We know God's a power. We say that God is a force for good. And we know that God cannot look like us. Logically, we know that. And yet it seems like we keep trying to make God be like us. We are made in its image. It is not made in our image. So the bottom line is we make choices that create results or consequences or reactions in our own life, just like spinning the top. We make a choice, and as Neville would say, we see the from the end, in the beginning, we see that I can make that top spin. And somehow we have that confidence because we have an image of being able to do it. And then we set out and we play with it. But God does not control the events in our lives. We are made to be free and to Ernest Holmes used to say, we sort of stumble on these truths as we live our lives, you know? We just keep experimenting with how to keep the top on the table or how to move the iron shavings around in the little thing because the laws always work and we are now interacting with all those laws. But we live in a universe that is created with this idea of cause and effect. It's exactly what our teaching symbol is all about. It is exactly this idea of the law that we're talking about today. And so what we know is that if we throw a stone in a pond, it's going to create ripples. And also, sometimes a stone goes in the pond that creates ripples, and we didn't throw the stone, but we live in the effect of that. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just the way the law works. So I've had a lot of discussions with people on how to find our grounding, how to get steady. And what I want to remind you this morning is that you already are steady. You are on steady ground. There is this great truth within us that if the world is spinning and we can't seem to get out of the spin of it, we can ask for prayer. We can ask for help. These are the things you can do. You start by redefining what God is. Get very clear in your mind what you believe God is, who you believe God is. And then if you can't stop that sense of chaos, ask for help. Pray first. Pray first. May I say, did I mention pray first? And if that's not good enough, ask for prayer. And there are lots of ways we do that here. Make good decisions. Nurture yourself while you're moving through difficult things. And finally, and this is important, and it might be a little hard to hear, but it's the best advice for all of us right now, and that is don't keep retelling the stories about how bad it is or how bad it's going to be. Don't keep retelling those stories, even if it's just in your own mind. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're in fear over anything, you're retelling a story. And it was a nightmare, and it woke you up, and you can choose again, and you can go back to truth. You can begin to try and imagine something better than the stories that are sort of spreading like crazy right now. Now, here's something fascinating. We've had a month. All year long, we've had every month a theme, a CSL theme. The Centers for Spiritual Living and hundreds of ministers all around the globe are taking these themes, and we're looking at wholeness this month. Again, the wisdom of the divine and seeing the wholeness and the all of it. The quote that we are using in these weeks says this: we are empowered by a realization of unity and wholeness. We are empowered when we recognize, when we embody, when we begin to understand what that means. We are empowered by a realization of unity and wholeness. And so if anyone is feeling disempowered right now, and by the way, you can only do this work for yourself. You can't help anybody else in your life, but you can do it for you, and that will be the biggest help you can do. So if we are feeling disempowered, if we are feeling some sense of inability by a ripple that's been, you know, heading our way because of what's been thrown in the pond now, then our way back to truth is to recognize the unity and the wholeness. We are fragmented. Many, many people are feeling fragmented or splintered right now. And so because we don't feel whole, that's when we get that effect of things aren't going well in the world. And that's where our fear comes from. That's where our depression and our sadness and all the things around that come from. So, what we're feeling and sensing is the natural result of what happens when we divide ourselves against each other. Of course, it doesn't feel good, but it will settle. It will pass. We will stand firmer and stronger as we recognize that all the love we need, all the assurance we need is already given us, that we are walking this planet with everything we need to pull ourselves through any kind of difficult time. So this message is not about politics. This message is, be very clear here, this message is not about a right person or a wrong person or any of the things that we voted or didn't vote on, whatever your stand is, but it's about knowing that stuff happens and then right where we stand, the healing begins. So we stand strong where we are when we can remember, and when we can't remember, when we're feeling a little bit topsy-turvy, spinny, we use those tools to get ourselves back to center. We are feeling splintered because we are splintered. And, you know, the healing begins now. Today, in this moment, let us not look back and think that that isn't what's going on, because in this universe, that's the only thing that can be going on. We are healing, whether we understand it or not, in the same way that our body begins healing the instant something goes wrong in our body. You get a splinter in your finger, and you look to get that splinter out so you can start feeling good again. But even if you can't get it out, the body has a way it is going to naturally move it outward. Might fester, might not be pretty. But the body knows how to do that. There is an intelligence in every cell, in every molecule of every living thing in the universe. And there is no exclusion to that. And so I think a lot. Sometimes it's really difficult to be me. Kermit thought he had it wrong. That'd be Kermit the Frog, not Kermit in the pew back there. At any rate, I think that it's an extraordinary thing. This is what I was thinking as I was thinking of all of us sitting in the sanctuary this morning and getting over this hump, because, you know, it's all okay. And, you know, I want you to feel uplifted in whatever way you need to feel uplifted, but I want us to move through the fear and to the other side as quickly as we can, because that's the hope for all of us. But I was thinking about how extraordinary it is that we sit in this sanctuary together and that we have a faith that encourages difference, that we stand for diversity, that we have a high investment in inclusivity. We try so hard to not exclude anybody or different ideas. You know, we try and really honor all the paths, even different paths, because we understand that that magnet works for everyone, that the top can spin in any direction, that we aren't special. We don't have to make the right choice or be in the right place or live in the right country or county or anything. Neville said, interesting, this is the first paragraph. So we're looking at this week, tomorrow we're in the study groups, we're looking at chapters 3 and 4. First paragraph of chapter 3, Neville says, duality is in an inherent condition of life. We are dual creatures with contrary principles that are embedded in our very nature. You know, I mean, at the very core of that, think what that means. It's like I said earlier, we are, you know, like we're divine beings, but we're living in these finite bodies. Wow, that is some kind of contrast. You know, it's just hard to remember that when life looks a little scary. So Neville goes on to say that for each and every one of us, there's already a war sort of going on within, that we have antagonistic attitudes within our own thinking. And the way that shows up is that here we are talking about the divine imagination, and yet there's another part of us that, even as we're trying to envision this world that works for everybody, there's that, yeah, but going on at the same time, because there's a part of us, the human finite part of us, that can't imagine it. But when we get that out of the way and we sit intentionally, and that's what we're doing today, we're talking about, we know what we're talking about today, conscious healing is what we're talking about today, about being a part of that which then goes on to express and reveal the next best whatever is trying to express itself. So Neville says, we secure the end in the beginning, and what I see is that eventually the top will stop spinning. That eventually that same law that makes the top spin will allow the top to rest when all that energy has worked itself out. And that's why we're sitting together today. But that's why we sit together every Sunday. There's nothing new. This is not a new story. It's just a different approach. So that which is God, that which is greater than our human view, is that divine justice. It is that harmony. It is that way all things come to a new sense of order whenever there's any kind of purging. Now, as I'm concluding this idea that God didn't make this happen, I want to say this. God is our assurance that everything's okay, and life knows how to do this. You know, if a mountainside, it doesn't matter if it's a volcano or a fire that devastates the side of a mountain. It doesn't matter. In a very short time, new life will sprout up and begin to reseed things. It just doesn't matter. That life can always replenish itself. And so I was thinking, and I told my husband, I said in one of those spicy conversations, but even I have heard that there are certain pine cones that do not reseed until they have experienced the effect of a fire. And so I Googled that, and this is what I found, that the physicists from NASA, when they speak about wildfire as a natural part of the ecosystem, listen to these words. Fire is the mechanism by which the forest is continually regenerated. Fires consume dead, decaying vegetation accumulating on the forest floor, thereby clearing the way for new growth. Some species, such as the jack pine, even rely on fire to spread their seeds. The jack pine produces a resin-filled cone that remains dormant until a fire occurs and it melts the resin. Then the cones pop open and the seeds fall out and blow around. Voila, new growth. It's felt a little heated this week. And my desire is to stand in my strong belief that it is these things that crack us open so that we can reseed on this planet something absolutely awesome, a potential that we have never been experiencing until now. And that this has to be the only way that this could happen. We don't know what that means. It passes our human understanding. But the power for good, that power for life that we can use in all situations, there is no place where God is not. There is no place where life is not absolutely eternal. And we stand in that truth, and that restores our balance. That takes that negative energy out of it so that we can rest and quit spinning. You know, I had an article in the paper yesterday. Did you see my article in the paper? It's Arizona Republic. Yeah, didn't write it for them, but somehow they got it, and I guess it's okay. But I said in that article that in the 1990s, my husband and I were living in Los Angeles, and we were shook pretty good by that Northridge earthquake. And I mentioned the Northridge quake because it was probably the one that we experienced the most. You know, it was the most, the strongest quake. The effect of the quake was the one we shook the most through. And so I hate the aftershocks. And when a really big quake happens, you got no choice. You know, what goes up must come down. That earth has to settle. And so in the next days and weeks that pass after a large earthquake, there are some really scary aftershocks. So we had been woken up the night before in the middle of the night, and I did not know how I was going to sleep, and I was so desperately tired that I had this brilliant idea that I would take my pillow and blanket outside, and I would sleep in the hammock that was strung between these two giant ficus trees. And man, that really was a genius idea. I went out there, I'm off the ground, right? I'm off the ground. I'm not going to feel any of these aftershocks until it became more like a beach party. You know that kind where they hold the blanket out and people are all around the blanket and you're sitting in the middle and they're tossing you up in the air? And then the trees are making all this noise and swaying and all this garbage from the trees is falling on me. And well, it turned out it wasn't such a good choice. And I retreated quickly to the safety of my bed to ride out whatever remaining aftershocks might occur. So, you know, what happens there is that I tried to dodge the tremors that would come later. But the experience of the aftershocks, that's just unavoidable. And what it can help us to realize is we cannot control the outer realm of effect. All we control is what's in us. And in us is everything we need to move through this stuff. Ernest Holmes said, it simmers down to this. Can we, in the midst of negative conditions, can we accept a greater good? If we can, we shall be complying with the law of life. We shall be giving life a chance to work for us. Things will simmer down. And we can continue looking for that greater good, and it will be revealed. We can be assured of that. This is not about any of that stuff that happened last week. This is about using the great, great lessons that come to us, no matter what little disruption there is going on in your own life or what major disruption. We are all given the same amount of good. We are all guaranteed the same eternal life. We are all here with the same amount of peace of God within us. God is never missing. God is never limited. God has never gone on hiatus. God is not up there going, oy vey, what have they done now? And God is not tisking, and God is also not high-fiving you when you do good things. That's all us, right? That's all the inner work. And the problems come because we're devoted to our values. And in a room this size, guess how many different values we have prioritized? Probably almost as much as the number of people sitting in chairs this morning. So please, let us know together that nobody has a single perfect answer. That God, even right now, is showing up in ways beyond our understanding. And meanwhile, I'm here for you. There's leadership in this community that desires to pray with you. Take advantage of that. Post a prayer on the prayer wall or write a confidential prayer request and drop it in the box. And allow our practitioners to pray for you. And then after you put that prayer request out, spend some time feeling the results of people praying for you. I swear every time I drop a prayer out to my practitioners, there will be moments in my days where I just get washed over with this sense of peace, with this immense love I can feel in my heart. And I just know right now somebody's praying just for me. We can secure the end in the beginning as we find our way yet again to see, to imagine a world that works for everyone. From this I shall not waver, and I hope you will join me. Let's just take a moment now to anchor these ideas in prayer. Take a nice, deep, holy breath. And so for a little while, we rest in this peace that washes over us. There's the in-breath and the out-breath. I feel the love of God right here in this sanctuary. And I know that love is the most powerful force in all the universe. That right here, right now, in this very room, is all the love we need, all the peace we crave, every element of truth that is revealing and revealed even now. I recognize that power and presence as a power for good. That it is that essence of perfection that this universe is made of. And so as we align ourselves in a new way, as we open ourselves to redefine what God is, as we step into that place of not knowing, but we stand in the grace of the great knower, that we are opening ourselves at higher and higher levels and higher perspectives, that indeed we can recognize the divine justice on this planet, in this universe, and even in our own lives. I feel the love of God, and I know it is indeed a healing force. It is a power that has been called to this planet right now so that the healing begins as we are restored to our wholeness, as we remember the truth of unity, of connection, that we learn from these moments of feeling against something or removed from someone we love, that we use these moments as powerful lessons to realize that we can never be separated. And so right now I speak a powerful word of blessing from that tender place within me, that each and every one of us opens ourselves to a new understanding of forgiveness and of acceptance, and that we do not block our love from anyone. For when we withhold our love from anyone, we are withholding it from ourselves, and we must not slow down that current of goodness that desires to express through ourselves. So there is a healing going on. There is change. There are new revelations and new opportunities. There is a message that comes in our willingness to be still and to be one and to sense that infiniteness of life, that insistence of life to continue, and of the way in which each of us is aligned to be a beautiful, unique expression from a very specific perspective. And so as we eliminate any idea of wronging or blaming or storytelling, as we call on the grace of God to give us the power to do that, I simply know that it is given. As you ask, then you shall receive. And we open ourselves in this moment to be vessels to receive a fresh, brand new awareness of what it means to walk in these physical bodies on this planet, knowing that there's still so much more. And so I feel this deep gratitude in my heart, this great, great sense of thankfulness for this community, for the ways we are willing to sit here this morning side by side, united in one powerful message, no matter what our perspective is. For that is the beginning of healing. For that is the way there is joy on this planet. For as we remember we are connected to each other, we remember we're connected to God. So I just say thank you, God. Thank you, Infinite Spirit. I am so grateful for this teaching, for these renewed awarenesses, for the new sense of order that is being established yet again. I bless every person in this community and every person in this community loves, knowing that no matter what, right where we are, God is. And in this spirit of great thanksgiving, in a month where we intend to be grateful, I simply release these words and allow them to be. And united, we say, and so it is.